Number one. I'm sorry, chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. And we're going to look at some scripture here this morning. I'm going to not refer to the other one, but I'm going to read this one first. Romans chapter number 5. Now, please do be here in the service tonight. Brother Andy and Miss Perry be with us tonight. He'll be singing. He'll be preaching the final message of our revival services. So don't miss tonight. Be here. Bring somebody with you. And fill the church house full tonight. But the Lord be pleased with that. Romans chapter number 5. Everybody settle down now. Kids got to be real quiet and still. Give me your attention. Look at verse 6. Romans chapter 5 and verse 6. For when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. Hallelujah. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure, that perhaps, you know, maybe, for a good man, some would even dare to die. But God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That's why He died. That's why He died. I'm going to read another verse there. There's never been a week, in our lifetime, if ever, that the death of Jesus Christ has got as much attention as it has this past week. Ever in the history of our country that I know of. Everybody, everywhere is talking or at least thinking about the death of Jesus Christ. And the rock opera Jesus Christ Superstar back in the late 60s asked the question, who are you? What did you sacrifice? Why did I? And Billy Graham made a great statement about that thing because it said it left him hanging on the cross and it lacked a clear presentation of the gospel in it. This new movie that they've come out with this week, I haven't seen, but I understand that it presents an accurate portrayal of the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. And praise God that it does. Amen? I knew it must have had something right in it. Found out who was against it. That's why you know if something's good or not. Find out who's against it. When I heard that Madonna and Kid Rock and Andy Rooney and people like that was against it, I said, well, the Lord must have something right in there somewhere. By the way, you don't have to spend 100 hours trying to figure out who to vote for this year. All you got to do is find out who the news media likes, vote for the other guy. You'll be as right as you get. You won't be right, but that's as right as you can get. That's the lesser of the two evils. Find out who the media is pushing and vote for the other fella. All you got to do is find out who they like on CBS and the other fella. I'm a preacher. I ain't telling you who to vote for. I'm telling you, if you got any sense, all you got to do is find out who they're pushing and vote the other way. And so the Bible said Christ died for us. Verse 9. Much more then, being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. Thank God for that this morning. I'd like to preach to you just a few minutes on the subject, some good reasons for being saved. Some good reasons for being saved. I could give you 1,000, but I'm going to give you 4 good reasons for being saved. If you're here this morning, and I know there's some here today, if you're here this morning and you have never been to Jesus, you have never trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior to save your soul from hell and your sins present, then I'm going to give you some good reasons why you should. I'm going to be like a lawyer in God's stead this morning and give them to you. Some of you are making fun of my lawyer suit. I wore this to be a lawyer. I got this at P. Diddy's yard sale, and he sells them quick after he wires them a time or two. So don't make fun of it. But anyway, I'm going to stand in his stead this morning, and I'm going to tell you why you should be saved. The Christian experience this morning is the greatest experience known to mankind. There is nothing any better. I'm going to give you 4 reasons why you, as an individual, should come to the Lord Jesus Christ and embrace them by faith. Number one, quickly, I'm going to say you should come to Him this morning because Jesus died for you. Jesus died. You've never heard no greater news than what I just told you. Jesus died for you. You say, Brother Danny, I've been a drunk. Jesus died for you. You say, Preacher, I've been an alcoholic. Jesus died for you. You say, Preacher, he's done some wicked things. Doesn't matter. Jesus died for you. Jesus died for Charles Manson. Jesus died for Adolf Hitler. The mercy of God was still reaching at Adolf Hitler as he fell into hell. His love is amazing. It's boundless. It knows no limits. It's unconditional. Whether you love Him or not, He loves you before you ever knew it. Bible said He loved us and washed us from our sins in His blood. You know, that wouldn't have been so amazing if He'd have washed us and then loved us. It didn't say that He washed us and then loved us. It said He loved us and then He washed us. Before He ever washed you, He cared about you and loved you. Jesus died for you. Jesus died for you. Good news! Jesus died for you. You say, Preacher, I'm just such a fan. Doesn't matter. Jesus died for you. You say, Preacher, the longer I live, the wickeder and sorrier. I'm telling you, Jesus died for you. Have you heard the good news this morning? Jesus died for you. You say, Preacher, I've done some awful stuff I don't want nobody to know about. Jesus died to pay for that sin. Hallelujah. He died for you. You know, I heard about this week, and I turned on Fox News, tried to figure out what was going on with all this stuff about the Passion of Christ. And boy, I tell you what, I began to hear what they were saying. That fella, that Andy Rooney fella, made me mad enough to fight, man. He got on CBS. He's a CBS anchor man or something. And he got on there and he was playing God. He was playing God. Did y'all see that on the news? He was playing like he was God. And he was saying, this movie's no good. I don't like this. And, I really messed up when I created Mel Gibson. He's a nutcase. And he said, I'm really messed up here and done that. I just don't know what I'm going to do about all of this stuff. And I thought, you know what? Listen, God knew that fool was going to say that before he was ever born. And Jesus went to Calvary and suffered and bled and died for that man. Amen? He died for that man. I'm telling you this morning, ladies and gentlemen, He died for you. He died for you. I heard them the other day this fussing. And they said there was no need for all that blood and no need for all that gore. You know why? Because we have been accustomed in America to seeing Jesus on the cross with a little nick and scratch here and there. He's got a little bitty place right here in his side, and he's looking all pitiful, and his hands look like girls, and he's out like this, you know, and he's got this sad look on his face, and just a little drop of blood here and there. And brother, that is not the Bible picture. That is not the Bible picture. The Bible nowhere near. Somebody said, well, it don't say it had all that blood. It most certainly does. The Bible said they kept him up all night. And the Bible said that they took Jesus Christ back and forth to Pilate, and the Bible said they covered his face with their spit. I mean, they spit like that in his face until his face was covered with spit. And then they blindfolded him. And that's the most degrading thing to do to a human being, is spit in their face. And brother, they put blindfolded on him and they mocked him and made fun of him. And then they slapped him on the head and said, you're a big prophet. Tell us who hit you. You say, why'd he go through that, preacher? Because that cuss word you said the other day. Because of that lie you told last week. Because of what you've done. Because of what I've done. That's why I went through that terrible suffering. And then they took him out there in the garden. And boy, you know, the Bible said he sweat. And it was cold weather that night too. They had a fire over there getting warm, so it's cold. And his sweat was dripping off of him like great drop blood. Didn't say his blood, said his sweat was dripping off of him as it were great drops of blood just dripping from him in agony as he prayed for us and interceded for you and I. And then they took him and scourged him, as the preacher mentioned so graphically last night, where they took the cat of nine tails. They put the victim up against the wall. They completely stripped them of their clothes. They'd tie him up like that right there. And then they'd take that cat of nine tails, and that Roman soldier would come around like this and go, and boy, when he did that, cat of tails would wrap around the victim's body and it'd jerk it like that. And those sharp bits of bone or rock or pieces of glass or whatever it was would cut into the victim's body and it would open it up. And many times, just the intestines would fall right out on the ground. Well, while they're doing that, it's not like these little movies that we've seen before. And I'm going to tell you something else. Even though this movie may be good, and I think it's great, really, I'm praying God will use it to win 1 million souls. I'm not criticizing it at all. But I'm going to tell you, it wasn't in a comfortable setting where you got a nice air-conditioned seat and music playing in the background and almost sounds sweet, brother. There was nothing sweet about it. It was nasty. It was dirty. It was rough. You would not have wanted to sit and watch the real thing. I mean, brother, you'd have had to turn your head. You'd have said, oh my God, why is a man having to go through that? And boy, they beat him and they beat him and they beat him. And the Bible said in the book of Isaiah that his visage, his appearance was marred more than any man. They beat him. He's like a piece of hamburger meat. You know why we tell you kids not to listen to rap music? Because rap music goes against everything he stands for and believes. And he died to save you kids from rock and roll and rap and living like the devil and smoking pot and drinking beer. And all he died. Jesus died for you. You get up out of your seat this morning, come down here and get saved, if for no other reason, just because he died for you. He died for you. My daughter in the 11th grade back there the other day, their class, they took the whole class during the daytime at her school, our Christian Academy, to see the film. And I told her, I said, honey, and when you watch it, and I told all my girls, the other two ain't seen it, and I told them, I said, now honey, you remember, when you see that portrait up on that screen, when you see that portrayed up on the screen, some of them hypocrites come out, the Boston Globe and New York Times and all them said, no, kids should not be allowed to see this. This is awful. Don't let your kids see this. Oh, ho. Please give us a break, would you please? I mean, it's all right to see women kissing each other. I mean, it's all right. I mean, they got to be exposed. Quit trying to shelter them. Where's all that preaching about sheltering them? Where's all that preaching against censorship? But it ain't me. I want my girls to know it was bloody. I want my girls to know it was awful. I want my girls to know he shed his blood for our sins. You couldn't make a movie bad enough to show how bad it really was. Thank God you think of the worst thing you've ever done in your life. And Jesus put that cross on his back and he walked up there where the blood was running off. He beat his eyes till he couldn't see out of them. The blood run through his teeth, probably not even his teeth being knocked out possibly. And you couldn't tell who he was. They beat him so bad. He died for you. He died for you. He died for you. He loved us when we didn't love him. Let me tell you a second thing. I'd love to just spend my whole time on that this morning. But secondly, you know why you ought to get saved today? This morning. I mean this morning. Don't go out this door. You ought to get saved this morning. Today. Because number two, man has never found satisfaction in anything else without the Lord. And all I said satisfaction. I didn't say you couldn't find something to thrill you. You can find something that'll make you have fun for a while. You can find fun out there. And you can find thrills. You will never really be satisfied until you know your Creator and have a personal relationship with Him through the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, God, when He made you, He put something down in your heart like a nut, you know, like a bolt. I mean, you know, I know you're a nut, but you know, I mean, like a, it was shaped like one. And like that fellow preaching at that funeral one time, and he was going to try to use a big illustration. Everybody could understand how the soul has left the body. And he stood up and there was a fellow's body laying there. And he said, folks, he said, old John, he said, all we see is the shell, the nut is gone. And that's why, but the Lord put a nut inside you. And it's like shaped like a, you ever try and arrange somebody, said, go get me a 5/16, won't fit it. Go get me a half inch, won't fit it. And finally you find a socket or something that fits it. And it just does like that. Did you know that God's got something like that in your heart? And everything you try, give me some dope. It don't fit. Give me some whiskey. It don't fit. Give me some other kind of scent. It don't fit. And you can search till you're blue in the face and nothing. But boy, when you get to Him, and you come to Him, and everything gets right. And I mean, the real thing happens. I know I'm not just getting religious or joining church. When you find Him, He finds you. You make your peace with Him. It's a There it is. That fits. That's what I've been looking for. That's what I've been wanting. Man has never found satisfaction in any other way. Amen. I tell you what, brother, there's nothing in this world will satisfy you like that. Somebody said this. They said, a great man said, life is nothing but a bad joke. That ain't even funny. It's a jail sentence we receive for being born. The world out there this morning, all they're doing is hunting something to make them happy. Joe Namath, back when I was growing up, people talk about Joe Namath being a great quarterback, and they called him Broadway Joe, and you know, he had the world by the tail, man. I mean, wine, women's song, all everything he wanted, and that old boy, he was rich, and he made movies, and I mean, he was a great quarterback, I reckon, and they bragged on him. I mean, he had anything a man could possibly want. And they asked Joe Namath one time, they said, Joe, do you have happiness in your life? You know what he said? He said, happiness? What's that? I don't guess I've been happy, quote, more than 2 weeks in my life. Here's a man that had anything a person could want. Here's a person that had all the money. I mean, he could get on a jet plane, his own jet plane if he wanted to, fly anywhere in the world, eat any kind of food, have any kind of party. You say, boy, that sounds like fun. You got it. It might be fun, but deep down, you got to lay down sometime, and you got to go to sleep sometime, and you got to sober up sometime, and there's still something missing on the inside. I never forget when I was growing up, we had all these rocks that come out, and the hippie movement started. And old Jimi Hendrix, that dude could play a guitar. He played left-handed. And I'm telling you, they said there'd never been nobody. I think now that a demon was playing it with him. I really believe that. And he believed that he was demon-possessed. He believed it. And told him. And that's why it conjured up fire on that altar when he did them concerts. And my friends got his album, that Purple Haze album, when it first came out. And my buddy told me, he said, man, you got to listen to this. He said, let this dude play his guitar. And I mean, he could play it. Now, ain't no doubt about it. He heard, almost supernatural. Like a lot of those rock girls. I got one in my presentation I'll be doing Thursday night, and they say that when they get on stage, that sometimes they'll all start playing the same phrase, unrehearsed, and not even know it, and all the members are doing it at the same time, and they don't know what causes it. They said it's scary. And of course, me and you, we know what caused it. It's like when you get in church and the Holy Ghost gets a hold of us and we say things we didn't plan on saying. We do things we didn't plan on doing. If the Holy Ghost can get a hold of us when we yield ourselves to Him, don't doubt for a second the spirit of the demon can't get a hold of them when they get out there. And so Jimi Hendrix, boy, he had the world by the tail. Everybody wanted to play like him. Everybody wanted to be like him. And they found Jimi Hendrix one morning where he was dead, laying on the couch, where he's so drunk he couldn't even roll over to throw up. And he choked to death on his own vomit. And he found, you know what? The man was miserable. 27 years old. Same age as Kurt Cobain. Died in his 20s. Like James Dean. And like, oh, you know what? They had everything a person could want. Marilyn Monroe, John Belushi, all of these people like that. Even Elvis. His body was like a drugstore. They said if how many drugs was inside his body. You know why them people in Hollywood commit suicide? And you know why they're just about all, without exception, all that's about on drugs is because when you get that fame and you get that fortune and you get that Bentley and you get that $800,000 home or $1 million home, it's fun for a while and then you say, now what? There's got to be more to life than this. There's got to be something else. And you come, all I'm going to do is just try to keep everybody from getting my money, try to keep looking pretty, get a facelift, and try to impress the multitudes. And deep down inside, them people knows there's something missing on the inside. And I'm going to tell you something this morning. God Almighty put a spot inside of you that can't be satisfied any other way. Jesus said, I am the bread that comes down from heaven. And if you don't eat of that bread, you're still going to be missing something. If you own half of Burke County, you still wouldn't be happy. There's satisfaction outside the Lord. There's fun. Of course you can have fun. Somebody said the world is a net. The more we stir in it, the more we're entangled. You say, Lord, have mercy. I seen, what's her name? Cheryl Teagues the other day. And she's a beautiful model and she's 56 years old and still on Sports Illustrated. And everybody said, wow! 56 years old, and she's still pretty enough to be in Sports Illustrated magazine. They had her on the news and everything. They said, wow, that's what I want to do. If I can just stay beautiful. What do you mean, stay? Listen, some of you lost that battle a long time ago. You ain't got enough money to stay pretty that long. Lord, they've spent more money. That's why I seen one woman, she looked like she's about 15 in her face, and her neck looked like she's 199 years old. They found one picture of Liz Taylor, you know, you've heard that. And boy, she looked beautiful. And she's 98 or something. And they found a picture of her. She really looked good. She had a big spot right there. And they got to looking at it, and it was her butt. That's right. Brother, she'll just pull it on up under her hair somewhere. But I'm telling you what, I mean, that's all right. I'm not against you looking pretty. I mean, Lord help, do all you can. Make it a little easier on us. But look, that ain't make you happy, amen. That ain't going to make you happy. I mean, you're going to get old and die sometime. You're going to get sick sometime. Something's going to take you out of here. There's going to be a time when you're laying on a bed and the doctor, you're looking back at your life and it's gone and you're going to need something besides fame, fortune, and beauty. Amen. Man's never found satisfaction. Oh, Mahatma Gandhi, you know what he said before he died? He had it all figured out while he's living. A lot of these people do. There is no light. All is darkness. Hank Williams Sr. said before he died. And Hank Williams Sr. wrote the song, I Saw the Light. And he backslid or something. I don't know what happened to him. I don't know if he ever was saved. Maybe I hope he was. But that old boy died with his pocket full of goofballs. And he'd been drunk. And he'd had a pot. He sat in the back seat of that car. And they said, Hank, we're going to sing you a song. I Saw the Light. And he stared out that window and said, there is no light. There ain't no light. And brother, he found out the same thing Brittany's going to find out. And Christina Aguilera's going to find out. And Kid Rock's going to find out. And Michael Jackson, I hope he'll find out. He might not have a soul. I'm just kidding. But let me tell you something, buddy. Every one of them's going to find out sooner or later. There's got to be more to it than this. I want to say thirdly, you know why you need to get saved this morning? This morning. Not next week. Not some other time. Today. You ought to get saved today. 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 Because death and judgment follow this life. And you don't know how long you've got. There's a great man one time. He's a lawyer. Smart, real brilliant man. A lawyer's some of the smartest people it's ever been. You've got to be smart to be a lawyer. And I know we kick them and criticize them and everything, and even the Lord had some pretty negative things to say about them. But you know, really, I did hear that they're going to start burying them 12 feet deep instead of 6. All lawyers, because deep down they are good people. But did you know, there was this fellow, he was real smart, and his name was Charles Finney. And Charles Finney was a lawyer, and he graduated from law school, and somebody came up to him and said, hey, Mr. Finney, what you going to do now that you graduated? He said, I'm going to get my license, rent me a building, hang out my shingle outside, and practice law. And they said, and then what? He said, I'm going to make a lot of money. And they said, and then what? He said, I guess I'll die. And he said, well, then what? And he said, I guess I'll go to the judgment. And it struck him that life is so short, and we're all judgment bound, that he ran a half a mile out in the woods and fell on his face and made things right with God and preached 50 years after that to get people ready for the real judgment day. Have you ever had to go to court? Don't raise your hands, please. We don't want to make a bad impression on our visitors. please do not raise your hand. Some of you, I don't know how you got out for the weekend to be in the revival. But did you know, I personally have never had to go to court, in case you're wondering. I have been to testify for people or just, you know, had to get something done or something like that. I did go one time when I passed the stop school, but she lied. But I just had to go get that taken care of. And I've never had to go like on a criminal charge or anything like that. But man, I've been with people when they did. Lord, you talk about nervous. Can you? I've heard people say court date is Tuesday. My court date is March the 30th. Or my court date is April 15th. And you know, let me tell you something this morning. Everybody in here has a court date. You're judgment bound. You will either stand before the judgment seat of Christ and be rewarded for your deeds, whether they be good or bad, and going into heaven and and suffer loss or get rewards, or you will stand before the great white throne judgment and hear God say, why didn't you listen to the man of God? Why didn't you get saved? And there they'll take you and throw you in hell. One of the two. You say, I don't believe it. It's going to happen anyway. You're in denial, brother. You need to listen to what God said. Death is certain appointment. Surely, you'll be there. Let me tell you something else, and I'm done. You know why you need to be saved today? Not next week, not next month. Because heaven is forfeited. Hell is your final destination. If I didn't believe there's a hell, I wouldn't go around down to preach every night this week and scream and holler if I didn't believe there's a hell. You say, preacher, how do you know there's a hell? How do you know they ain't? I got more proof they are than you got they ain't. I got more testimonies they are than you have they don't. I've got a book here that stood the test of time, and nobody's ever proved an error in it yet, and that's prophesied the future and gets it right every time and declares there's a hell, and there's only one man been dead and checked it out and come back to tell about it, and that's Jesus Christ, and He said there's one. And if you say there's no hell this morning, and you say, I'm going to take my chances, I know what he said, but I don't like it, I'm going to go get in my car and leave here, and I don't care what that preacher said, I'm going to do what I want to do, you are taking a chance that no gambler in Las Vegas would take. You're taking a chance going to give countless thousands of testimonies of people who have died trusting Jesus Christ. Years ago, people died like they lived. Nowadays, everybody's doped up, and they just slip on out. You don't know what. But years ago, before they come out with all this, people died screaming that demons were dragging them into hell. Or they said, I see angels coming to get me and carry me over into glory, like into Abraham's bosom, like they did Lazarus. And I'm going to tell you this morning, ladies and gentlemen, there is thousands of stories of people who were atheists and agnostics and Bible deniers and Bible haters when they died on their deathbed said their feet was burning. They begin to scream. They begin to holler. They begin to say, God, have mercy on me. But it's too late then. You know why you need to get saved today? I'm talking about today, right now, here this morning. It's because hell is real. Heaven is forfeited. And you'll wind up in hell forever and ever and ever. Somebody said one time, I said, well, you one of those hellfire preachers? They ain't no other kind. If a man don't preach on hellfire, I don't know what he is. He's a crook. He's taking money under false pretenses. They're like what they told that chaplain in the army one time. All these men in there, and they want somebody to come in and preach. You know, a chaplain in the army, he has to be like a, Lord, I don't know what he is. He has to be like a politician. And he comes in there and told him it wasn't no hell. And you know what them men told him? They said, if they ain't no hell, we don't need you. And if they are a hell, we don't want you. So get out. So if you got a preacher that don't preach on hell, you're worse, you're crazier than he is. Because he is getting paid for doing it. You're sitting there listening to that junk and not even making no money. Amen. Don't you know, you hate to admit you're that dumb, but listen, if they ain't no hell, you don't need a preacher. And if they are a hell, you sure don't want one that tells you there ain't one. There is a hell. There is a hell. It's so great, it'd be worth it even if it wasn't a hell. And hell is so awful, it'd be worth getting saved even if there wasn't no heaven. If there wasn't no heaven, you'd be better off get saved. Stay out of hell. And if there wasn't no hell, you'd be better off saved because heaven's so great. Either way you cut the cake, you need to get saved. You need to get saved here this morning. You know, we had a little discussion at the beginning of Sunday school. Some of you were not here. I have no idea why. I hope he's in a bad wreck. But I don't hope somebody died. But you know what I'm saying. We had a great discussion that you missed in Sunday school. And that is, today is leap year day, the 29th of February. And one of the brothers back here says, did you know that we don't have five Sundays in February, leap year date like today, but ever so many, way, 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 way many years? And one brother said, since 1900. And it'll be like 21 something when it happens again. And then somebody else said 30 something years. Because of that. But if it happening on, I'm not sure, maybe somebody can figure this out. But I know one thing. I never remember it happening in my lifetime. It being Leap Year Day like it is today. This is a different kind of day. This is the first day we've ever had like this. Since I've been preaching, I reckon. Leap Year, the February 29th on Sunday. I read this story. And I read a story about an atheist by the name of Archibald Boyle, famous atheist back 1700s. And Archibald Boyle was with a bunch of men that hated God and hated... was to make fun of the Bible and God. They called it the Hell Club. And Archibald Boyle was the president, or the vice president. And one night, coming home from his annual meeting, he came home, went to bed that night, and he had a dream. And he dreamed that the Grim Reaper came to him, the death angel. And the death angel looked at him, and he said, I've come to take your soul. And he said, no, please, no, I'm not ready. He said, I've come to take your soul to hell. The man didn't even believe in hell. And he said, I can't. He said, no, please, please, no. And the Grim Reaper said, all right, I'm going to give you another chance. But he said, in a year and a day, we'll know more. In a year and a day. And he said that old boy woke up that next morning with sweat running off him. He couldn't move. You ever had a dream that, you know, when you woke up, you like froze. You just could not move, like a nightmare. He woke up the next day and they said he couldn't move in the bed all day long. He stayed in the house, wouldn't go out, wouldn't talk to nobody. He went into hibernation for days. He could hear that death angel's words, in a year and a day, we'll meet to part no more. In a year and a day. A month went by and nothing happened. Another month went by and nothing happened. 6 months went by, and you kind of relaxed. He kind of forgot about that dream. You know how we are. We're all tore up at first, and then little by little, you know, that probably wasn't nothing. Probably my imagination. Wasn't nothing to get upset about. It come time for the annual meeting again. On the way to the meeting, he'd forgot all about the thing. He'd forgot all about the warning of the death angel. And he went to that meeting that night, and the president got up, and he said, welcome, men, to the annual meeting of the Hell Club. He said, we're so glad all you men are here. And he said, I just want you to know we're welcoming you. He said, this is leap year, and it's been a year and a day since our last meeting. And when he said that, chills went down that boy's spine. And he remembered that dream. He said, oh, God. He said, that's crazy. That's crazy. I don't even believe in God. I don't even believe in God. And he sat there nervously through that whole meeting when they cussed and blasphemed the God of heaven and made fun of heaven and hell like they do on our TVs every day of the week. They make it like it's a joke, like it's a funny joke. I'm going to tell you this morning, there ain't nothing funny about it. Nothing funny about burning and burning and burning forever and ever and ever. He sat there through that meeting, and finally, the meeting was over. And they said, you going to stay and drink with us every night? He said, no, I don't feel too good, boys. He said, I don't feel too good. All I can think of is a year and a day. Leap year, like it is today. Today. And that night he left, rode his horse. The next day, he'd show up at home. And they went looking for him. Somebody saw his horse grazing out there in the field. And he looked on the side of the road, and there was the stiff dead body of Archibald Boyle. The death angel had kept his promise. And a year and a day, he went to hell. It's been a year and a day. This is February 29th, leap year. We'll never have another Sunday like this. We'll all agree for at least many, many years. Are you going to be alive even this time next week? Is there anybody in here that can stand and say, I'm not in no hurry. I know for a fact I'm going to be alive 5 more years. Anybody in here can say that? No, can't do it. How about 5 minutes? Can't. You can't. You know why you need to get saved? Because you could fall into hell before you get home today.
Amen.
We don't want that to happen. Let's stand with our heads.